Good evening, everybody. Appreciate having the opportunity to come before you again. Seems like it was just a few weeks ago I stood here, and I'm grateful for that. If you'd like to, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll be reading to you here in a moment from the New King James Version, verses 4 through 12. While you're turning to 1 Peter, let me bring you up to date a little bit here on this. We're going to be looking at two, possibly three different groups of people here in this context of what we're going to be reading. We're going to then look at the words that describe each of these groups of people, see how they blend together, and when it all falls down to the bottom in this last verse, verse 12, where it says, the day of visitation. We're going to see how all of these people come together to make what the writer here calls the day of visitation. So if you'll follow along with me, let's put this all together. 1 Peter chapter 2, I'll start in verse 4 and go through 12. And again, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone of which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. There are differing ideas on the meaning of this phrase, the day of visitation. Those differing ideas is what brought me to this sermon. I won't be taking but a few moments of your time this evening to look into this and see, because of the context and all the wording, what this phrase actually encounters, what it brings into. Like I said, there are differing ideas on what this phrase, the day of visitation, means, or as it is used here. Throughout Scripture, visitation or visit is used as the day or time of judgment, or even the point at which one comes to the Lord. In Mr. Young's translation of this passage, he sees it as in the day of inspection. Now, that word might sound a little out of place, but bear with me here in a minute and you'll see it. In this passage, the Greek word for visitation simply means in the day. So we have to put together everything that is said here to see and understand what this day of visitation is spoken of here. From Luke chapter 19, verse 44, Jesus uses this phrase while weeping over Jerusalem and states, because you did not know the day of your visitation, using the words as the act by which God looks into and searches out the ways, deeds, characters of men, in order that he might set aright them their lot according to whether that is joyous or sad. Thus the word inspection, investigation, or visitation. That's how Jesus used it. And when Jesus saw the city of Jerusalem, he searched out their ways, And this made him weep over their disbelief of him. John chapter 12 and verse 37. In our text of 1 Peter chapter 2, we read words such as living, chosen by God, precious, spiritual, holy, sacrifices acceptable to God. Believers on him will by no means be put to shame. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, holy nation, special people, the people now of God, these that have obtained mercy. These words were used to describe those in the church. That is who Peter was talking to. Look back at chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. These words also describe any who will come to God on His terms. From Acts chapter 2 and verse 38 through 40, it says, "For the promises to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off," speaking here about Gentiles, "as many as the Lord our God will call," that is, all who would come to the Lord in response to the call issued in the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, "to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." So you can see that there is a specific group, one that I've pulled out, that he's talking to. Those that have been called. The church. But we have to look at the complete context of these words to determine the exact meaning of this day of visitation as we read it. The Christians here in Peter's letter and to us today have the responsibility to have in our character the positive attributes that are listed here. That is, being believing and obeying souls, we are living stones being built up into a spiritual house who once were not a people, but now are the people of God. We have a tremendous responsibility. So we need to compare the description of the believers with the description given of the others in the text. Other words used in what I just read to you were rejection, stumbling, offense, being disobedient to the word, and those who had not obtained mercy. When people, lost souls, people of the world, see a Christian conducting themselves in a proper relationship with God and Christ, they can become persuaded by this powerful example of life and glorify God upon His visiting them when they call upon Him pursuant to the gospel. Now we're boiling down to this day of visitation. Remember, Jesus in Luke 19:44 had visited Jerusalem, showing them the way to righteousness. But then in Luke chapter 1 and verse 68, Zechariah's prophecy, talking about John the Baptist here, he said, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for He has visited and redeemed His people." So you see, from Scripture, we do have examples of visitation without it being the day of judgment, which a lot of people believe that here in 1 Peter is talking about. We have both examples, as it's talked about in Scripture. But the idea of visitation on God's part here from 1 Peter chapter 2, as when Christians live as they should, and the world sees them even though they once have spoken of us as evildoers, they now come to obey God. They glorify God in the day in which they obey the gospel. The actions are concurrent. Reflection about what Christians are doing out here in the world toward your family, your friends, and your co-workers will have an impact on those who are doing the observing. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16 states, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." And again in Ephesians chapter 3 and 21, "To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever." Glory by the church. We are the church. So glory can be seen by the outward world through the church of Jesus to Jesus Christ. In our text, the word glorify here means to praise, extol, magnify, and celebrate. This is what the lost soul is doing as they watch us and decide that's what they want out of their life, what we have. And they come to the Father to praise, to extol, to magnify, and celebrate by watching as spectators what God accomplishes in the lives of His Christians who are doing the good works. These Gentiles, people outside the body, will praise, extol, magnify, and celebrate God. Consider our example here in 1 Peter chapter 3, if you want to step over there. You're in 1 Peter. Look at chapter 3 and the first two verses. "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." Without a word, they may be won by seeing the proper conduct of one in Christ. A consistent life in harmony with the will of God has an impact on unbelievers and can be a powerful force in causing them to come to Christ. You never know what you will say or what you will do that someone else might see or hear and make them think, "This is what I need in my life. This is what I'm missing. What these people have that I don't have." On the same level of thought, I said earlier, those who are doing the good works. What about those who have put on Christ in baptism, yet have not fully put to death the old man? People will see those actions, those words, those dirty jokes, those going along with the boys, those people who are conducting themselves in an improper way towards Christ. They will see what's important in their life also, as they see what's important in the life of a Christian who's actually acting like a Christian. These people are going to be detrimental to the cause of Christ and may keep a soul from its God. The way that a Christian conduct themselves in public and private cannot be underestimated. It is possible that everyone here today has heard a story of a brother or sister in Christ who, by their conduct, hurt the cause of Christ and like I said earlier, may have even kept the soul from its God. Our concern, rather than being so selfish as to act this way, should be centered on the soul who is away from God and needs us to be an example that they may follow in hope that it will bring them to glorify God. If you are a Christian, then act like one. This day, this very day, we hope that a conduct of a member of this church has brought one that is away from God to the point of asking, "What must I do to be saved?" This is your day of visitation. This is when the gospel has been brought to you. This is when you have the opportunity to obey that gospel, to come to Christ and God on their terms, confess Christ, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. This is the day the gospel has visited you, and you have opportunity right now to come forward as together we stand and sing the song of invitation to put you in a correct, proper relationship with God. It is your sins, according to Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, that separate you from your God. It is Christ who reconciles us back to God. Have you heard the gospel? Well, today is your opportunity for the visitation. Please come as together we stand and sing.